Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, Yarlis, the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the second half of Independence Day week and weekend. With the holiday falling right in the middle of the week, some of us took the time off before, some are taking it after. But either way, a great time to get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. Create a little envy in wherever you are, that being a campground and or your backyard. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And welcome back to the show. Appreciate you taking another weekend hour to hang out with us. We're going to try and make it worth your while. We're going to be joined all throughout the show by the famous Latin from Manhattan. Mr. Rick Suarez is in the studio with us. And we're going to be tasting some beers, Jop.
You know, it's never a bad day when that's going on.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good way to start your weekend.
Right.
You know, Independence Day, 4th of July, just kind of a cool time for everybody to spend time with family and think about maybe their country and the state of it. But I was reading something really cool that I want to bore people for just a minute and make them think. It was sent to me by a friend, and it said, have you ever wondered what happened to the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? And when I saw that title, I said, no.
Right.
It never even crossed my mind. They were just a bunch of rich old guys who, you know, got together and decided to make a country. Well, not quite right. Five of the signers were captured by the British. Of course, they were traitors then, right? And they were tortured to death. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. Now, mind you, Britain did everything they could. England did everything they could, the most powerful nation on the world, to keep this colony, right? They did not want us splitting off. So 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. Two lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Another had two sons captured. Nine of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardship in the Revolutionary War, that'd be 1812. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and sacred honor. What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists, 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers and large plantation owners, men of means, well-educated, but they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. That I probably never gave that enough thought. The fact right. that they met and did this and signed the Declaration. We always talk about the Declaration of Independence, but it's like that's just a piece of paper. No, they knew that they were going to have bounties on them immediately. Carter Braxton of Virginia was a wealthy planter and trader. He saw his ships swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his homes and properties to pay the debts and died in rags.
That's gave
a,
it all.
That's a passion.
Gave his life and
everything.
His fortune, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Thomas McKeam was hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals and soldiers looted the properties of Dillery, Hill, Sylmer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, Middleton. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over Nelson's home. Wouldn't that kill you? To make it his headquarters. He quietly urged General George Washington to open fire. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his grist mill were laid to waste. More than a year, He lived in forests and caves, returning home to find his wife dead and his children vanished. So take a few minutes and just think about what these people did to try and have freedom and to give you the freedoms you have now when you think you don't.
Right.
I don't know of anybody that's given this much.
Right. Patriotism isn't a sin, man. Fourth of July is more than beer picnics and barbecues like we talk about. So good reminder. You know what? Good reminder, Bob. I enjoy that. And thank you. One of the freedoms that I was able to enjoy this last weekend was got to go spend some time with our friend Captain Ken from Gyra Charters over on the Saginaw Bay. He's out of Aw Gray. Mm-hmm. Got a beautiful home and then a cottage right next door that's for rent so that you can go there and charter a fishing trip with him and walleyes.
Did you stay in the cottage?
We did. I stayed in the cottage next door. And we got up at 6 bells in the morning, stepped out to the dock, got on his charter boat, went out into the bay. He took us all the way out, checking spots on the way out, got where he wanted to be.
10 miles out like last time.
Right, yep. No. We put down the outriggers and the planer boards, rather, and proceeded to catch our limit plus. We were culling fish, throwing the littler ones back and the big ones. So we came away, there were four of us on the boat, and we came away with a full limit of walleyes. We caught catfish, we caught sheephead, just a wonderful day, and we did it all before noon, and we were out of there. He got us a limit before it got super hot out there. And
what was the biggest walleye?
Actually, Michelle caught her very first walleye ever, was our biggest one. It was about 4.5 pounds. It was like 28 inches. But most of them were in that 14 to 18-inch slot. Just perfect eaters. And I tell you what, Captain Ken is a consummate host. He's a fantastic charter captain. And he put us on fish, showed us great hospitality. If you ever want to go and do a walleye charter in Saginaw Bay, this is the guy, Gyra, J-I-R-E-H, Gyra Charters. Look him up online under that name and give him a call. He's still got spots yet this year. They're going fast, I'm sure.
So but Lake Huron, the walleye population's healthy?
Yeah, you know what? It really is, and they raised the limit to 8 from 5 last year.
Nice.
They did, and they dropped the size to 13 from 15 inches. So
I thought that you said 13, and that seemed kind of small.
But yeah, no, the fishery's good. We were out, like you said, 10, 11 miles into that bay, and the water temperature was 79 degrees at the surface.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it was just gorgeous out there right now.
So they were down a little deeper.
No, we were only in 17 feet of water. And, you fish walleyes near the bottom.
Right.
Anyway, but yeah, so they're in 17 feet of water, but the water was a little cloudy. It was perfect. You know, usually you catch more fish on a cloudy day, but it was a bluebird day.
Wow.
There wasn't a cloud in the sky, and he put us on the fish, man. Just a great deal. A lot of fun. Hats off to Captain Ken and Gyra Charters. Great organization.
How cool. So we're going to talk a little beer. We've got Mr. Rick Suarez, the Latin from Manhattan, in studio. All right, brother.
How are you guys today?
Hey, thanks so much for taking time out of your life. You live in Battle Creek. Best to you each morning. And you made the trek up, and Rick's one of those guys we're going to get into in a little bit, but I'll toot his horn because he never will. But he has really, I think, been in the beer business all your life, haven't you?
1985.
Yeah. You started with Unibrew?
I actually started for a brewery out of Hamburg, Germany called Holsten.
Mm.
And they used to do a beer in the UK called Holsten Pils that did 15 million cases a year. And we got it into America, but it was a tough nut. But I spent 6 years there. And then from there, I went to Unibrew for 12 years.
Is that beer still distributed in the U.S.?
You know, it's in Florida, and they do brief runs for a Florida importer. But it's not as popular as it once was.
Oh.
In the UK, though, they're the Budweiser. I mean, in Hamburg, Germany, they're the Budweiser of Hamburg.
And it's called what?
Holsten. Hmm. H-O-L-S-T-E-N.
And it's a pils.
And, well, they make pils, they make lagers, they make a few varieties.
Nice.
Coming up next, we're going to dive into a few different flavors of microbrew with our Latin from Manhattan. It's Rick. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan,
Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the second half of the Independence Day weekend, and we appreciate you tuning in. I hope you're firing up a grill or a smoker wherever you are, whether it be campground, backyard, and creating a little grill envy with those that are around you. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. We're going to talk a little beer now, Bob. What you thinking, brother?
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, and thanks for coming back and joining us. We're going to talk about Atwater Brewing, Atwater Brewery. I went to the original Atwater in Detroit about 15 years ago, maybe, and they closed that location, I believe. Anyway, in studio with us is Rick Suarez, and he is working with Atwater. Rick is one of these guys who I'm gonna say works for several years for people to help them gain market share and to get their brands promoted. You're more of a brand guy than anything. And you try and target good beers. I remember when you brought Bell's to Puerto Rico, and you're just one. I'd call you a hit man.
Thank you so much. I'm just very passionate about beers, and I like challenges.
So tell me, where in Manhattan did you grow up?
I grew up. I was born and raised on the Lower East Side, mm-hmm. but eventually grew up in the Bronx, on the Bronx-Yonkers borderline, close to Westchester County.
Oh wow! Well, that's actually a pretty safe area for the Bronx.
I loved it, but yeah. I really don't miss the rat race in New York since I moved to Michigan. It was pretty nice to get here.
Yeah. I still love going to Manhattan, though.
It's fun.
No?
Well, so many people, you know, Manhattan and New York doesn't belong to New Yorkers no more. So if you have lifelong New York, it really belongs to the world.
Yeah. You don't even know you're in America because there's like 300 different languages. You don't know what language you're going to have to compete with when you don't,
and there's so many people from so many parts of the world, and it's so expensive to live. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So what are we tasting right now here?
Right now, we're tasting Dirty Blonde. It's the most happening brand we're having right now in the market. It's pretty much on fire for us. It's a pale weed at 4.5% with hints of coriander. It's one of those things that go great with white fish. Salads.
That's a lot to say right there.
Yeah, no, it's a very enjoyable beer, and it's so easy to drink, especially with these 90-degree weather out here. It's pretty much our beer that's pretty stacked up in all the major supermarket chains, and it's doing quite well for us. We're very excited with it.
Well, I tell you what, Rick, we're going to take this thing for a test drive with some walleye fillets. I brought you back some, Barbecue Bob.
Nice.
So we'll We'll pop a dirty blonde.
I think that would be
put it with some grilled fish, and we'll see what happens, man.
I think that'd be nice with a fish fry.
Right.
It would be very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. We try to pair up all the beers with foods, especially for the white linen restaurants when you have to kind of educate.
Although I'd say to make your beer better, I would just use a cheap domestic.
Right, right. No, this doesn't get out of the pint glass. Right. Right? We're not putting that in a mixing bowl. Exactly.
So what else did you bring here?
Well, we brought our IPA, which I think is a sleeper. It's called Better Life Choices. Just scored a 94.
Am I seeing a pattern here? We go from dirty blondes to better life choices?
Everybody needs a better life choice.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So Better Life Choices, our IPA, 80% Centennial hops, a little caramel malt. And when I get back to the food and aspect of it, I would recommend a pasta, red meat, spicy foods with it. Really an ideal dish for that.
And why do you say that?
You know, it's just the hints of the malt. It pairs with the spices very well. And like I said, it's our sleeper in the book. We're not known to lead with an IPA, which is kind of thankful. I mean, we lead with our Dirty Blonde and with our next beer that I brought over also, which is the Vanilla Java Porter, which is the beer that actually made Atwater what it is today. And it's an English style porter with vanilla notes, easy on the palate, 5%. A world of pairings with it. You can marinate your meats with it, a nice red meat with it. You can use it for desserts also. It pairs great with chocolate desserts, ice cream.
Have you ever marinated anything with it?
I have.
What?
I leave it overnight with a ribeye.
With a ribeye?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And you get some nice flavors out of it.
That's interesting. I'm not a marinade guy for beef, especially like a ribeye which is probably one of my favorite steaks. I just like the flavor of the steak so much. I'm always afraid to mess it up.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. I don't do it all the time, but you can do it half the time. Right. Me as a Latino, we like to marinate with a lot of garlic and a lot of Goya products. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Well, in your honor, last weekend we did the pinchos.
I heard you last week. You know, I've been listening to you guys from day one. I'm a faithful listener.
I know you are. Actually, you text me after every show.
I text you after every show. And I
What'd
you
say
know,
that for? That was stupid.
Yeah. No, I never say that.
He's got that one on auto respond right there.
He just
hits
paste.
No, listen, I religiously listen from 8 to 9 in the morning every Saturday, and I get my little pointers, and you learn a lot everywhere. And I'm fascinated by the people you have met along the way.
Yeah, that's a blessing. Yeah. It truly is, and you're one of them. But we're very fortunate to be able to interact with a lot of really cool people that know a hell of a lot more about beer and food than we do, and we just get to bring it to you.
Yep.
So. That's an awesome part of the show that we enjoy.
Well, and it
lot.
Makes you seek them out too. You know, my job is to build the show every week, so I'm forced to go out and seek those people out. And I guess I have probably been very lucky with the people that I've run into. Plus, I travel a lot, and that so they tie together nicely that way. When you're out and about, you stop in a place and you meet some. Jop does this all the time, too. He's always talking about this guy he met or that guy and hot babe or something like that.
Well, it's not just about it's not just about
Dirty
the food.
Blonde.
Blonde. Yeah. But it's not just about the food. It's about the social. It's about the people. It's about the atmosphere,
So here's a name for a beer. You could do Hot Redhead then.
Right. Yeah. Right. Haven't had any of that yet.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, I mean, that being said, Atwater is pretty much on fire for us in Michigan, and we're very proud to have that product.
Of course it's on fire. You're repping them.
And we have nothing to do with that. The people behind it, we have a strong force behind us. We got some great people
but
behind
you
us.
Need to step back, because Atwater is much more than just a brewery as well, because you've got restaurants where you can walk in and have that whole pub feel, but professional chefs. This isn't just sandwiches and things that are unwrapped and put in a microwave. You guys got real restaurants that are associated with your
yeah,
pubs.
Yeah, we have
as well.
Our brew pub in downtown Detroit, obviously. We have a brew pub restaurant in Grosse Pointe, and at Grosse Pointe we have a great brewer named Brad there that brews beers that you can't find, that we don't bottle, we don't keg. It's just specifically for the restaurant.
Really?
And then we have
that's a must. I got to put that on my list then.
Yes, absolutely.
Atwater of Grosse Pointe.
Absolutely.
And that's in Michigan.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, and that being said, I pulled a keg out of there for Shakespeare's in Kalamazoo, celebrating his July 19th anniversary every year, and he only brings in 44 beers that have never been poured before. So we snuck out a cream ale called a Sure Thing Cream Ale. And then lastly, you know, we have a Grand Rapids facility across the street from DeVos that's doing very well. So
My kids, we've taken our older kids there several times.
Yeah, and I mean, it's
they like it.
Doing very well for us, and we're really proud to get the beer in people's hands as much as we can, because that's the idea.
Well, absolutely, because it sells itself. If you get an opportunity to have one, you want to have another one.
Stick around and put down the rake.
We'll be right back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com. Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, happy Independence Day. I know we're after it, but it still feels like we should be celebrating because it was in the middle of the week, and a lot of you are still got time off. So enjoy it. Get out in the backyard and fire up a grill and create a little envy. You know what, Bob? Made a better life choice. We're going to vary from this hot dog thing we were going to do. We're going to continue talking about beer.
So, that worked down the toilet.
I think it's a better choice. So take it away, brother.
We'll do the hot dog segments in the final four minutes. We'll just speed read.
Yeah, it's only tubular meat. We can get it. Yeah.
We did dogs and brats at the grill yesterday, or Wednesday, I think it was, 4th of July. And we were short on brats, and unfortunately, I didn't go to my favorite butcher and get my brats. So I got home, and I didn't have any brats, so I had to go buy the big brand, you know, and they're good, Johnsonville. There's nothing wrong with them. But I had some dogs, and so we're like, more and more people are showing. They're like, what do we need? I could tell everybody to bring hot dogs, Kogel Viennas.
Yeah,
that's what I like.
Right,
it's all about me right now. I'll beat the grill.
Well,
you guys will be.
They're in
the
your backyard at your pool, eating your food and drinking your beer. It's all about you.
I'm 96 degrees in front of that Cajun charcoal grill, and I had my deep fryer fired up and did a bunch of French fries. Maureen made a great coleslaw, and I'll tell you, we had a great Independence Day celebration in the water at 96 degrees, I think it was outside. Yeah. But we are making better life choices, Jop, and bringing the Latin from Manhattan was one of those better life choices. So Better Life Choices IPA, atwater.com. Let's talk about that.
Like I said, it's a sleeper in my book. I'm a big IPA guy, or have been for quite a while. You know, my palate varies. I started with whites and Hefeweizens, and then I went to the American craft game when the hops kind of took over across America, and amazing amount of nice beers that are made with different types of hops all over the place. I mean, these guys are getting creative. These brewers these days are getting so creative these days that it's very difficult to find a bad beer these days.
Well, and take a look at M43. There's a classic example, Travis. I mean, you know, that was a rabbit out of the hat, and he can't make it fast enough.
He's done a phenomenal job with that New England IPA, but I'm going to give a plug to one of mine, which is called Street Artists.
Oh.
And we made one, and it's just came out into the market, and it's doing quite well.
That's a New England IPA?
It's a New England style IPA made by Atwater. Very difficult to find in certain places, but it's getting there.
So IPA versus New England style IPA, in a few words, what's the difference?
Well, they're cloudy. They're unpasteurized. They're unfiltered. You have to drink them as fresh as possible.
And they're dry hopped.
Right. And the fact of the matter is you get a New England style IPA, I would say it's at its finest between up to 6, maybe 9 weeks. And after that, they kind of break down.
It's not one you're going to want to age.
So my question is then, is that in a can and a bottle in the store, or do I have to go to a tap room to get it?
You know, either or. I mean, you see Stone when they come out with their beers, they say best before make it in 3 weeks because of the hop profile. They don't want it to break down to a certain extent. Similar to the New England style IPAs, you know, the longer they'll break down.
Well, and the proof is in why we even have IPAs, because the British dry hop their kegs of beer to ship them to India so they wouldn't spoil.
Right.
That's the IPA. It's a cool story.
India Pale Ale IPA. Right. Exactly. So I can look on a can. If I'm the consumer, I walk in, I'm in the store. Is there a best buy date on it? I mean, you know, Bud Light got into that a few years ago, and then it just absolutely disappeared. And but it sounds like it's a little more legitimate with this New England IPA.
Yeah, it's preferred to drink them as fresh as possible. Most people have date codes on the cans, so you can easily find the freshest ones.
So typically from canning to shelf, what's that? I mean, it's got to vary by manufacturer, I'm sure, or brewer, but.
Oh, listen, some people get beer into the shelves 2 days before they're made. I mean, 2 days after they're made. I mean, they try to get them out as fast as possible, especially, you know, when it's so delicate to get out. But shelf life, in about a week you get beer on the shelf that's pretty fresh.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
When I was in Puerto Rico, by the way, we shipped Bell's to Puerto Rico, and we literally got it there in 16 days, and that includes the boat. And on the shelf in 16 days, one thing I used to brag about, that we had the freshest beer on the island. And
those stores are hot.
Yeah.
A lot of them aren't air-conditioned, so your shelf life's going to diminish quicker.
Well, no, we have air conditioning in Puerto Rico. In the
well,
stores,
no, but, you, but
we ship
but
them
the
in,
small shop, well, they're not cooling all their beer, are they?
Oh, yeah. There's cold boxes everywhere now these days.
Okay.
Typically, it leaves on a cold container.
Oh,
refrigerated container. Yeah,
really?
Beer will catch heat stroke on the water out there, 90 degrees.
So. Oh, okay.
So preferred, you know, to keep the freshest intact is to ship it in a refrigerated container.
Yeah, I haven't been to Puerto Rico in 20 years, but I was in the BVI last year, and all those stores were incredibly warm.
Yeah, no, in certain pockets they're pretty warm, but the bigger stores in Puerto Rico, they're all cold box and refrigerated.
Mm. And that's the best case for any craft beer.
Yeah. Keep them chill.
I mean, Coors used to do that.
Right. Ship chill.
It was unpasteurized.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was part of the lure. So part of your history that fascinates me is the Unibrew. And you know I'm just a freak about Le Fin du Monde.
Wow. Triple fermented golden ale. Champagne yeast, champagne effervescence. You know, perfect with cheeses and desserts. But I will tell you this, that I found that beer when I was running a beer distributor in New York for 2 years. I found it in a magazine, and I told my top sales guy, I'm bringing that beer to America. Not only did I bring it to America, last year was voted the number one import beer in the country, La Fin du Monde, But I worked 12 years at that brewery, opened up 33 out of the 46 states that we're currently in.
And you're
I hired six out of the eight
here.
Guys that, at one time. And it was just a fun dream job.
Well, I think it's just, you know, an incredible profile. It's really a Belgian yeast strain, right?
Absolutely.
And if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys, and it's really the beer guys today because we've got a real expert with us, but we're talking about Le Fin du Monde from Unibrew.
Well, it's not just Le Fin du Monde, it's Mourzet.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's Trois Pistoles, it's Blanche et Chambly. It's the most award-winning brewery, decorated brewery that I've seen in a long time.
But in North America, I think they brew it in Quebec.
They brewed in Montreal, Quebec City, a little town called Chambly, where the English fought the French. So that's why the white called Blanche de Chambly is where the beer is made. Every legend, every beer label at Unibrew is a legend or historical fact.
That's cool.
True story. Oh, it's amazing.
So are they shipping that from there to England? Just be thumbing your nose. Sorry, let's talk hot dogs.
That boat doesn't float, buddy, anymore.
So tell us about some other great choices from Atwater.
Well, you know, a brand that's on fire for us is our mango wheat called Wango.
And, oh, I've had that.
Yeah, and it's really an amazing beer. I've just done a couple of shows, and people just gravitate to it. It's our seasonal, but there's three other Wangos. There's going to be a raspberry coming out, and usually they follow it up with a Citra Wango.
Mm-hmm.
Not so sure we're going to get to that one this year. We're just so busy brewing. And then, again, Vanilla Java Porter. Right now there's a release called Coconut Cream Java Porter, which is out right now. But there's a variant coming out in the fall that you'll find in every single Myers. It's called the Variant Java Porter Series, which has Bavarian Cream, coconut, raspberry, and the regular one. So be looking out for that in the fall for the holidays.
So you just went through a litany of styles and profiles. In the next segment, what I'd like you to do is tell us where you think the beer business is going. Where we are here in West Michigan, we're called Beer City USA, whether it's self-proclaimed or there was some award bestowed upon us. At the end of the day, we like to think that we know a lot about beer here, but for a guy that's as well-traveled as you, I'd like your impression on where you think this is going. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Beer City USA.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's garrettsappliances.com. GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, happy Independence Day to all of you. I know it was Wednesday, but you know what? I feel like we're still celebrating because it's a holiday in the middle of the week. You get 2 weekends in a week to do it. But I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. Thanks for bringing in the Latin from Manhattan, Bob, because you know what? A beer show is always as good as a grilling show, and we don't do enough of these.
So yeah, I agree. I'm glad you figured that out. And, thanks to Mr. Brian Fonger, who's playing some great bumper music for us. He's the wizard of the big board who makes us sound better than we truly are. In studio right now is the Latin from Manhattan, Mr. Rick, or as I call him, Rico Suarez.
Thank you. You're kind.
So, Rick, we were talking during the break about one more beer you wanted to chat about.
Yeah, I just didn't want to let one slip away, which is the our chocolate ale called Decadent Chocolate. It's a really fine, easy drinking beer. I'm always very surprised when I open it up, and I probably shouldn't be, but it's just so smooth and so easy to drink that women actually fall in love with it. But there's one also called Mint Decadent Chocolate that is my personal favorite out of the whole book, and I got to tell you, it tastes like an Andes candies when you're
really?
Drinking it.
Really? That's what I hear.
At 8%. Yeah, the decadent.
So, do you
chocolate.
Drink that real cold, or do you drink that at room temperature?
No, you drink it, pretty, cool. Cool, not too cold.
Right.
You know, 55 right. is pretty much average for that bottle.
Right. You know? And what it's gonna do, it's gonna open up a little bit, and you're gonna get more of that
yeah.
chocolate and that
oh,
mint
yeah,
flavor
nose.
When it's
you'll
warmer.
You'll get the nose, and you'll get the mint with the mint decadent. But it's just an easy drinking beer.
Sounds like dessert.
Perfect with desserts. Perfect with a float. You can make them.
So if I make a
could you?
Yeah.
If I make a better life choice from my dirty blonde and I go to the chocolate and mint that's decadent, I think I'm there, man. But right before the break, I mentioned to you that I'm interested in your perception of the beer business because you're squarely in it. This is what you do. You're a professional. And where do you see this ebb and flow? Because we've already talked about 5 or 6 different styles of beer. Where do you see this thing going? Because this is hot right now.
You know, I kind of think, and this is my personal opinion, I just think that everybody is hopped up these days and super hopped.
Yeah.
I think the market segment is going to trend to more drinkable lagers, pilsners, kolsches, something on the lighter end, especially in these dog days of summer. And it's something that's misunderstood along the way. It's great, the hop craze, because the farmers are making hops everywhere.
Yeah.
Making good money.
Making money.
And it opened up the segment. But I also believe that it's a little saturated in my eyes. And that's my personal opinion.
Speaking of saturated, this vanilla Java porter is pretty good.
It is. It's really easy to drink. Like I'm saying, you know, everything doesn't have to be a hopped up beer.
Look, Joppy, I can segue too.
Right. Yeah.
It is
interesting.
Important, I tell you that.
Yeah,
but I really think that people are going to go lighter with flavor, you know.
That second part is where it's at. You know, with all respect to the Bud Lights and the Miller Lights of the world, if you're into craft beer, what you miss when you go back to there is flavor, right?
It's
the alcohol
flavor.
Content's there, but there's not a flavor that you go, that's really good. It's just a volume thing with me. You go to parties, I go to parties, but if I drink Bud Light or Miller Light, it feels like I'm not getting that beer experience to me anymore. And I don't mean to be a snob, because when you met me, you've told this story 100 times, is I hated craft beer when I met Bob. Now my pendulum is all the way to the other end.
Now he's a snob.
And it's an acquired taste for a lot of people. I mean,
right.
People just can't transition into a craft beer without leading up to it gradually.
Yeah.
But, in the hotter weather especially, I think those, let's call them average or lighter beers, are a great idea because you're just thirsty, really. You got to remember to drink water, for one thing, when it's this hot.
You know,
and when it's this hot, if you can't drink enough water and drink enough beer, just look for your local Carrier dealer. And
they'll cheap plug.
We'll take care of your air conditioning needs. Right.
So no, but I got to tell you this: I got called out this past weekend. I gave the tip. You didn't, that you need to drink a beer and a water and a beer and a water during the heat. A couple of my buddies were listening to the show, and specifically one of the wives.
Mm-hmm.
She heard that. She looked at her husband and said, "Is that Randy on the radio? That can't be him.
I've never seen him drink water.
He does not drink a beer and a water and a beer and a water. That is not what that guy does.
The only water he sees is in the shower."
Yeah.
It's suggested to have a glass of water before you start drinking a beer.
Right.
It really is. It clears your system really well.
Well, yeah. In this hot water, in this hot weather, you dehydrate so bad.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. And that's what it was about. But it was funny because I got busted. That is not his normal advice.
And on the Independence Day, on the 4th of July, I was actually drinking a ton of water by the pool.
Right.
I was. It was just so hot. And where everybody wants to stay outside. The air conditioning is so beautiful inside, and they're all at the pool and everything. And I'm kind of a sun baby. I've got a dangerous skin area where I got to really be careful because I'm blue-eyed. And my doctor's saying, okay, you're on the border here. You don't want basal cell. So I'm like freak about getting too much sun. And I won't go in the house to get the meat prepped, and the air's around. My big Carrier system's just chill in the house, and I'm like, I don't want to go back out.
Yeah. No, tell me about it. I spent the last year in Puerto Rico.
Oh.
And selling beer, the heat can work on you really easy.
Wears you down, brother.
So your mother's there, and the Puerto Rican, the hurricane that came through there, you know, to see the news, it was devastating. I'm sure it really was, but you were there. Tell us a little bit about that.
I will tell you that the not so much the hurricane, but the aftermath affected me. I love wipes for 9 days because I didn't shower for 9 days, unfortunately. Although my sister was showering every day and hogging up the water. But I will tell you this, though. It took a while for me to get back and talk about it because it was really emotional. I couldn't talk about it without breaking down one way or another way. And then I said, what can I do?
Well, how many people on the island? 1.5 million?
Well, there were 3.4, but they're down to 2.7 now. Because a lot of people just ran away to Florida, right. Texas, Boston. Some people landed in Michigan. You know, and I joined a little committee in Kalamazoo College to help them raise money just to transport people who needed to escape Puerto Rico for whatever reason. And they made it easier by setting people up in homes and stuff like that. So it was a little devastating. I still think about it every day, and I go, wow.
Pretty hard to think about having to leave your home, though. I mean,
yeah,
you know, that's got to be a tough point in life when you just say, well, we're going to pack up and move to the mainland.
Right. It was really tough, and a lot of people escaped to Florida. Actually, they did something well in Florida. They hired 73 school teachers from Puerto Rico, and they said that those teachers were more prepared to teach than the teachers in Florida. So I was really proud of that. Okay. But the island is coming back. You know, we're probably at 75% to normality. The hotels are open, so now FEMA's out.
The infrastructure is, the roads are back?
The roads are back. You can drive. I went there for Mother's Day, and everything is fine. I would just suggest if anybody wants to help Puerto Rico out, go take a vacation there. Spend some money.
That's a great idea, actually.
Yeah.
And if you haven't ever been to Puerto Rico, you ever been to Puerto Rico?
I have not.
If you haven't been,
fishing capital,
great reason to go because it's, I think, it's taken for granted. You know, all the little islands get all the love, but this is a big island with a ton of coast. My friend's parents live down there. They have a winter home down there. They've been going there for like 30 years. They have an ice cream business. So, you know, they get the whole winter off, and they spend it in Puerto Rico, and they're absolutely
mad. And you could drink a great beer in Puerto Rico. Not only are the local guys making phenomenal beers, you could catch any of the big breweries out there, Bell's, Founders, Stone, Victory.
But what are they barbecuing?
You know, they fry their foods out there, you know. And
there's a business opportunity.
they grill, but mainly, you know, it's the dishes, you know, Tiano kind of dishes. Like what I laugh here because the dish over there that everybody eats is rice and beans. And it's like Michigan's mac and cheese. Everybody's
right, yeah,
gotta
right.
have
oh,
mac
yeah.
and cheese over there. Is rice and beans, right. You know. But they get creative spices, fried foods, you know, baked foods, but not as much grilling going on until they roast that pig.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right. Rick, you're passionate about Puerto Rico. I know it's in your heritage, and that's cool. You're a man from there, and it's time for a little man law.
Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a manny, manny, man, a man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man.
I think we picked the right man law job because this show turned into the beer show. All these hot dog notes are just down the toilet. Man law, no wasted beer in the name of humor.
Man law. Ever.
Right, ever. So we are going to cover some hot dogs in the upcoming segment, a whole 4 minutes worth.
Yeah, the Nathan's is always on the 4th of July. I saw that they made a counting error, and he actually did set, Chitwood, set a record of 74 hot dogs. In 10 minutes, are you kidding me?
That was
me?
Gross to watch.
Yes, it was. I mean, he's doing the chicken thing, trying to get these down, and he's ratcheting them back and forth in his mouth. I'm like, are you kidding me? Whatever. That's not the hot dogs we're talking about. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, I think I screwed up the Mustard Belt champion. It's Joey Chestnut, not Chitwood. Chitwood used to be a NASCAR guy, I think, but anyway, had my sports mixed up. But Barbecue Bob, we're talking dogs now. What's going on, man?
Oh, you know, I think it's just fun to do hot dogs like we love to do. It's still a great staple for Americans and probably people all over the world. I don't know. Apparently so, because
but we're in America.
Doing some research, I found all kinds of other countries with these cool hot dog things. So, but chili dog or coney dog? I don't know. I like both. I love conies, but if you're in New York, what do they call a coney, Rick?
Damn, I couldn't even tell you that one.
Michigan dog.
Michigan dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So mm-hmm. Explain
even
for
though
those,
Coney I'm Island a, is in
chili,
New York.
I'm a chili kind of
even
dog.
Though Coney Island's in New York.
So right. So what's the difference? Coney and chili.
Not a whole lot.
Cheese?
Coney
is
sauce.
It just the cheese?
Coney sauce is made with ground beef hearts.
Well,
not
yeah.
beef hearts, but beef
right.
hearts.
Yep. Our friend from Crankers
yep.
tell you that.
Yep. yep. Chicago dogs. Love Chicago dogs.
Love them.
You use a good Vienna. You get a dill, some hot peppers, and mustard, and onion.
Don't forget the onions.
It's all you need, right. man. And those are wonderful. Every time I go through O'Hare, I'm hitting the Vienna stand. So you can do some cool little toppings for your dogs. I love the whole concept of a hot dog bar. To me,
yeah,
to me,
it's kind of fun.
It is, because
yeah.
I like hot dogs. It's
right.
it's for me.
There's a place in New York called Papaya's. They do two hot dogs for $1 back in the day.
Oh, my
it's
gosh.
Probably two hot dogs for $2 now, but you can't. I mean, there's lines outside.
Oh, my.
It's right on Broadway. They have a couple of locations.
You know, on the East Coast, if you go up to Maine, they do lobster rolls, right?
Right.
Their hot dog buns are different.
Right.
You ever notice that?
Yes.
It's like bread.
Yeah.
They're really cool. I think everybody ought to switch to that Maine hot dog bun.
I don't know. You're messing with a lot there if you're messing with the bun.
So you can do a crunchy red and green cabbage slaw on top of a dog. You can do some German mustard, sauerkraut, and then put it on a pretzel bun. I love sauerkraut. I keep a bag in the fridge all the time.
Me too.
I found something really cool. It was a hot dog that you slice down the middle. You throw some slices of dill pickle in there and some slices of cheddar, and then you wrap it in bacon and grill it. And that just, to me, that sounded like, I got to try that.
That exact same thing I saw, we were up near Mackinac Island. We were north, and we were over at the boat in Cedar, right, where they do the boats over there, the wooden boats. And there was a vendor there that was wrapping his dogs in bacon, just like you described, but he was deep frying them. So the bacon got crumbly, and it was really good. He dropped that in a bun, and when you bit it, you weren't pulling the bacon.
It was cheese and pickle in it? Too?
Yeah, yep. Really? But he wrapped it so tight in the bacon that it didn't come out. And it was, you know, whatever, a minute and a half he had it in the oil. And nice. I'm sure sounds like it's really good for you, right?
I gotta try it.
Yeah.
It's hard.
But you got your fryer out there when you're doing the fries on your back deck. You should wrap some of those in bacon and see what you can come up with.
Well, we want to thank Mr. Rick Suarez from Atwater Brewery for joining us.
Consummate host with Dirty Blondes and Java Porters and Better Life Choices, right?
Better Life Choices, the sleeper.
It's all about that.
In the crowd.
It's all about that. Better Life
Choices.
If
it's too hot for you, look up your local carrier guy and help me put my kids through college. I still have one left.
Yeah, exactly. Shameless plug for Barbecue Bob. Hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you choosing us and listening each and every week. You got lots of things you could be doing, and you tuned into us. So I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. Rick, thank you, Atwater Brewing. We appreciate all of you listening, and we'll talk with you next week.